You never know how the Lord will speak to you and share His plans for your life. Today on Telling the Truth, Jill Briscoe explores Scripture and all the ways God shares His will with you. But first, do you ever worry that your relationship or marriage doesn't align with what Scripture has to say? It's easy to follow the model set by modern culture rather than God's Word, especially since churches often avoid the awkward conversations about marriage. But Pete Briscoe's new series, Modern Marriage, takes a different, refreshing approach, asking the hard questions like, what does equality in marriage look like? Or when is it time to see a marriage counselor? We want to help you discover God's best for your marriage by sending you a copy of Pete's new series. It's our way to thank you for your support today to help keep God's Word on air and online through Telling the Truth so others can experience life in Christ. Call today and request Modern Marriage when you give. 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Now, here's Jill Briscoe with today's message, Finding God's Will for Me.
So you live at the cross and you ask yourself, am I fully surrendered? Will I go any place, anytime, anywhere? There is no way I could have discovered the macro plan for my life if that decision had not been made. And from then on in, as He revealed His will, I had to do what Jesus did. I had to have a personal Gethsemane, a personal Calvary, and a personal Pentecost to do the will that He revealed to me. Because many times the will of God is not what we want to hear about. It is not the pleasurable, fun stuff that I expect God to heap onto my life as if I had a right to all of that. It's the difficult things. And I had to go to Gethsemane, as it were, and pull myself alongside the will of God. And I had to go to a Calvary and remember Christianity is the I crossed out and die to what I would like my plan to be, my purposes, my pleasure. And then I had to ask for a personal Pentecost and the power to do the will of God that had been revealed to me. And so that's all wrapped up in asking you a very searing question. Are you surrendered to God? Anytime, any place, anywhere. You cannot know the will of God without full surrender. And once that's settled, there's a wonderful little illustration that Stuart used to give to teenagers in all those years we used to work with kids. And it's a very simple illustration of an aeroplane landing on a runway in the dark. And how does the aeroplane know how to land and where to land? Because there are little lights all along the runway. And the idea is that if the little lights are lit, you'll land safely. Now, some of us are here because we have to land on a decision. We are facing a very important decision, or it's very important to us. And we want to know whether to land on it, whether to come down in this direction or that direction. And so what you need to do is ask yourself, are the lights lit? Is it saying, yes, land? Is the tower telling you it's safe? I'll show you where to land. A lot of people land on decisions with one light lit, which is a very silly thing to do. And the idea is to try and find as many lights as possible lit. I believe you will never get all the lights lit. And there will, in the end, always be a step of faith and a landing that needs to be made. But the idea is to get a few of those lights lit. And what I want to do is talk about those lights for a few minutes. First of all, is the Word of God. Your Word is a light to my feet and a light to my path. Direct my footsteps according to your Word. Be in the Word. Is that light lit? If you've got a decision to make, then every day are you looking for the answer, as well as doing your devotions. When I have a dilemma, when there is a big question of what I should do, a procedure that I should take, and it says in Ecclesiastes, incidentally, that there is a time for every procedure. And sometimes it's a matter of seeking the right time to do something. So I am in the Word and I am doing all my devotional studies, but this is always on the back burner. And suddenly a principle in the Scriptures will apply to it, will throw light on it, will show me. And the light will go on. The light will go on. But you take the will of God from the Word of God, and the Word of God reveals the will of God. And it will never reveal anything contrary to the Word of God. That doesn't happen. And then you're obedient to what you discover. Can you recommend a good book on the subject? Somebody asked me as I was coming in. I said, yes, the Bible. Great book. His guidance will never be contrary to his word. So that's one light. Second light, recognize the will of God in the adverse circumstances of life. Circumstances. And often the adverse circumstances of life will show you what to do. The plan of God, for example, in permitted pain. Read the book of Job. Job learned the God of the plan, who had a plan for his life through pain. And often God hides his face, but he never absents himself from a situation. God might be a God who hides himself, but never a God who absents himself. Sometimes in the dark, but never at a distance. I love that quote. Sometimes in the dark, but never at a distance. And sometimes, like in Job's case, he got very confused about the plan of God until he gets all the way through to chapter 42 and he says, oh, I get it, I get it, I get it. And the more he clearly saw God and related to him, the more he clearly saw the plan that had been permitted. God will permit pain. Can pain be in the will of God? Yes. Look at the cross. Look at Job. But the wonderful thing about recognizing the will of God in the adverse circumstance of life, it's a light on the runway. And you need to look around the situation. Sometimes you only see the will of God in retrospect. You look back and say, oh, get it. That's why. Oh, that's why. I have my mentor, my model, 80 years of age, wonderful lady. She gave a testimony in a conference I was at when she was on her 80th birthday party there. And she said, I love getting old because I can look back and say, oh, that's why. She said, when I was young, I used to say, why? Why did my father die and leave my mother with six children? We lived below the poverty land in Northern Ireland. And why did my husband have to go to the Second World War and be away all that time? And I had to run the whole deal back home and the mission and everything else. And why did my children not have a daddy? Because my husband was on the road for God all those years. And she said, now I'm 80, I can look back and say, oh, that's why. That's why. That's why. And then she told us how, because of what God had permitted in her life, the adverse circumstances of life, she was absolutely incredibly ready and suitable to head up one of the biggest missions in the world and understand young people without fathers and understand what it took to raise people without any money and below the poverty line, because that's how they lived in mission for years and years and years, and learn to ask in faith on their knees for the things that were not provided in the normal way. And she kept looking back and saying, well, if I hadn't been this and I hadn't done that, I would never have known how to do this. And so often that's one thing that comes with age. We can look back in retrospect and see the will of God. We can see the will of God. Paul said, the things that happened to me have fallen out to the spread of the gospel. And you can be sure of one thing, that if you are living in pain or in the adverse circumstances of life, the plan of God is that the gospel somehow will be enhanced and disseminated because of it. Paul was in prison, chained to a Roman guard. He led him to Christ. Guy couldn't get away. Every 4 hours, they chained another one to him. They must have said, oh no, it's my turn, chained to that prisoner Paul. And they came to Christ one by one by one. I can see Paul's eyes glinting as he shared the gospel with a guy that couldn't get away. And he says about that, the things that happened to me in jail have fallen out to the spread of the gospel. And now people even in Caesar's household know Christ, because God permitted me to be in prison, chained to a Roman guard. And the wonderful thing is, as you look back in retrospect, you see, like Joseph said, the devil meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And so within the plan of God, there will be adverse circumstance. But remember that God isn't willing that any should perish. That's his will. He's not willing that any should perish. He is willing that all should come to repentance. And one of the reasons he allows us to suffer and suffer adverse circumstances is for the spread of the gospel.
We hope you're being encouraged by today's message on telling the truth. And we want you to know that biblical wisdom like this is only available on air and online thanks to support from listeners like you. When you give to Telling the Truth, you help people all over the world connect with God's Word so they can have a genuine encounter with Jesus and experience life in Him. People like Heather, who wrote in and told us, "I am so blessed and grateful for Telling the Truth. On a road trip, I stumbled on a broadcast featuring Jill Briscoe, and the journey began. My relationship is ever growing in God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit from daily teaching applicable to living a life founded on the Bible. Thank you so much for sharing your God-given insightfulness." Thanks so much for writing to us, Heather. Your gift today will help even more listeners experience abundant life in Christ. And to say thank you for your support, we'd like to send you Pete Briscoe's new 4-message teaching called Modern Marriage. Cultural views on marriage don't often line up with biblical truths. Because of this, churches often avoid the awkward questions like, is it okay to live together before marriage? But Pete's new series helps you find biblical answers on this topic and more so you can experience God's best for your marriage. Call today to get your copy of Modern Marriage when you give. 1-800-889-5388. Again, that's 1-800-889-5388, or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Okay, let's get back to Jill with more of today's message, Finding God's Will for Me.
So that's a light. Sometimes circumstances get us into a corner and you need to look around and say, okay, so where's my God that I need to lead to Christ in this particular situation? What do you want me to do? And then you need to listen to advice. That's another light. Seek wise counsel. Make plans by seeking advice. Proverbs 20:18. Make plans by seeking advice. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. For waging war, you need guidance. For victory, many advisors. Proverbs 24:6. For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but many advisors make victory sure. So find godly people that know you well, that know you really well, and ask their advice. When Stuart was wondering whether to leave the bank and go into missions, he went to 3 people that knew him best. A bank examiner that he'd worked with in business, an elder in a church who was a family friend, and his father. And he asked them, should I leave the banking career and go into full-time work? All 3 said, no, not time. And so he stayed in the bank and he rose up the ladder to the top by the time he was 26. And then we're married by then, had a baby, sense that God's plan, micro plan for us, was to leave the business world and go into Christian work. And he went back to the same 3 people and he asked advice. And every one of them said, yes, timing. Timing's right. And so we sought advice. That's a light. And we saw that we had 3 lights: the Word of God, circumstances, even adverse circumstances in our life, the advice of other Christians. Common sense, it's a light. Common sense doesn't mean a lack of faith. Use your head. Do the obvious. God expects us to use our reasoned judgment, which is another name for common sense. Dawson Trotman said, God gave you a lot of leading when he gave you your head. So don't be stupid, in other words. The will of God is like going towards traffic lights, and you're supposed to run your life on green. You've got to be going. You can't guide a stationary car. So you've got to be going towards what you think is the will of God or the right decision. You've got to live your life on green, and then try and be obedient if you go to red, or a caution, go slow. But most people sit there and wait What do they wait for? They wait for the green. They think they have to live their life on the red or on the yellow. No, you live your life on green. You've got to be going. And as you're going, God can guide you and he can put out those traffic lights for you. And so lights along the runway help. Inner peace, is that feelings? No, it's deeper than that. It's to do with prayer. It's to do with prayer. So there are many lights along the runway, the word of God, circumstances, common sense, timing, the advice of other Christians, very practical things. And if you have a big dilemma and a big decision to make, make sure you get as many lit as you can. And you can't get them all lit, but get more than one. Some people have said, well, I just have peace about it. And I'm landing on this decision just on that. What does the word of God say? What do people that know you best say? What about your circumstances? Da, 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 da. Well, no, I just feel that God is convicting me to do this. That can be one light. Don't land on one light. Seek God. So we discover the will of God by knowing God, following Christ, keeping in step with the Spirit, the Christian life. What would Daddy do? We do the will of God in the macro, in the macro, in our little micro way, by landing on our decisions and practically looking for all those lights lit along the runway. Common sense, being in the Word of God, inner conviction, advice of other Christians, circumstances, etc. Common sense. And then we want to delight in the will of God. And the perfect story in the Bible is the story of Jonah, because Jonah didn't want to do the will of God that was revealed to him. He had absolutely no problem figuring what it was, because apparently God leaned out of heaven and in a loud voice said, go to Nineveh. And he went to Tarshish, which was in the opposite direction, as far away as he could get. So what happens if you don't want to do the will of God and you start resisting or running like Jonah did? What is your Nineveh? It might be that you know very well what you should do. You should give up that non-Christian girlfriend or boyfriend. You should quit playing with the sin. Whatever. But you're resisting, like Jonah. You don't want to go to Nineveh and deal with it. And what happened to him is he got on a boat, and three times it says he went down. He went down to Joppa. He went down in the boat, and he went down in the whale. And when you're resisting and running away from what God wants you to do for your life, you'll find yourself going down, down spiritually. Not only that, he caused havoc on the boat for other people. And if you allow your spiritual temperature to go cold, you will affect everybody around you. You cannot sin as a Christian by resisting the will of God and not affect those people around you. And the soldiers around him were affected by the storm that Jonah caused because of his disobedience. And so we find him affecting others, causing havoc, running away, because he told them, I'm running away from the will of God. And so, of course, we know the story. They tried to get the boat to shore. It wouldn't go. The storm got worse. And they said to Jonah, what do we do to you so the storm will stop for us? And he said, throw me overboard, because he knew the storm that he had caused was affecting others. And so he repented in chapters 2 and 3. And God gave him a second chance. God is a God of the second chance. And he hit rock bottom. And he said, God, if you get me out of this pit, I'll go to Nineveh. And God did. And so he went. And he preached. The whole city came to Christ, or came to God. And in chapter 4, we find him resenting the will of God. So we find him running away, repenting, but even though he was doing the will of God, he was doing it with a sour spirit and a bad attitude. And God is just as concerned about how we do the will of God as doing the will of God that we discover. And God begins to deal with him. And we see in chapter 4 the anger of Jonah and the compassion of God. And he says, why are you so angry? And Jonah said, because I don't like Ninevites. And I didn't want to do this. And they've all been forgiven. And I don't think they deserve it. And I want vengeance. I want them to get theirs. And I knew this would happen if I preached the gospel to them. The gospel of grace. I just want to die. So he's so angry, he's resenting the will of God. There's all sorts of ways you can do the will of God. Oh, all right. God isn't impressed.
You're hearing from Jill Briscoe today on Telling the Truth. She's coming right back. But first, there's an authentic and encouraging resource you'll want to know about. Does your relationship look like something you might see on TV? Or does it more closely reflect what Scripture teaches? Because the truth is, modern culture and biblical views on marriage and premarital relationships almost never line up. That's why we want to send you Pete Briscoe's new series, Modern Marriage, to help you see what God's Word says about relevant relationship issues so you can experience His best for your marriage. We'll send you a copy of this new series as thanks for your support today. Your gift helps keep Telling the Truth on air and online so more people can hear biblical wisdom and experience life in Christ. Call today and request your copy of Modern Marriage with your gift. Call 1-800-889-5388, 1-800-889-5388, or give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's Jill to wrap up today's teaching.
I remember a woman cleaning the castle that was our Bible school, and it was a miserable business. I mean, England, it rains all the time. We were in the country. You have 300 Bible students. They come in from the mess and the wet, and they go all over, and she's just got the floors. And she had a terrible attitude. She knew that God had called her to serve as a servant in that place. But boy, did she serve with a bad attitude. And I remember her trying to sweep us out of the office one day to get the floors cleaned, and she said, "Get out, get out. I've got to clean the floors. I'll do my work to the glory of God." That's how some of us do our work. Okay, this is what God's called me to do. We do it with such a bad attitude, and God isn't impressed. He says, "Do you well to be angry? Don't like your attitude." I remember my mother. I never wanted to help my mother. I was a very selfish child. And my father was sitting by a big fire. We didn't have central heating, and it was warm and cozy, and I was reading a book, and he looks up at me and he says, "Go and help your mother in the kitchen." I didn't want to. So I arrived next to my mother like a small tornado with a bad attitude. She took one look at my face and said, "I'd rather do without your help with a face like that. Get out of the kitchen." Well, then I got out of the kitchen, but I didn't dare go back into the lounge. So I stood in the freezing cold in the hall, waiting till I thought my father would figure I'd helped her and it was time I could come back. And then I went back whistling and picked up my book, and he looked up and he said, "Why are you back so soon? You've been helping your mother." And I sort of mumbled something. He said, "Go and help your mother." So I finished up in the hall again. Now I didn't dare go back to mother. It was the most miserable experience of my life. And you know what I love about God? He doesn't want us standing in the hall. He wants to see us delighting in helping mother, or doing whatever it is that he wants us to do. Doing whatever daddy wants us to do. And so are you rejoicing, or are you resisting, or are you doing the will of God with a bad attitude? If you're going to delight in the will of God, you've got to let God do something about that heart of yours. And just come home to the will of God. Home is the will of God for the child of God. So we need to discover the will of God. We need to do the will of God. Practically find out the little micro bit that I have to decide. And then we have to do it and delight in it. Just delight in it. And that's what he's after. How do I know that Jonah changed his mind, started to delight in the will of God? He wrote the book. It's his testimony. Didn't need to put chapter 4 in. Didn't show him up in a very good light, did it? And whether he wrote it personally or gave it to somebody to write, it's his story. And he just didn't put on the end. So I came to rest in the will of God and delight in the will of God. But I believe that's what happened. And I would like to think that's what's going to happen in every one of our lives.
Thanks, Jill. Before we say goodbye, we want to remind you about a great new resource to strengthen your relationship. It's Pete Briscoe's new teaching, Modern Marriage. This four-message series takes a close look at how biblical truth and modern culture are often at odds with one another when it comes to marriage. Pete wants to encourage you to not shy away from awkward conversations and really look at the tough questions, like, should we live together before marriage? Or what does the Bible say about marrying after divorce? When you discover what God's Word has to say about these tough topics, you'll be able to work towards His best for your relationship. Modern Marriage is our gift to say thanks for your support today to help keep telling the truth on air and online. So please call now and give to help people all over the world experience life in Christ. And don't forget to request your copy of Modern Marriage when you do. Call 1-800-889-5388. Again, that's 1-800-889-5388 or give online at tellingthetruth.org. Thanks for listening today. Come back tomorrow as Pete Briscoe opens God's Word to ask some of the tough questions that can help you experience God's best for your marriage. Listen in and experience life Wednesday on Telling the Truth.